Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and MyFord Touch. Now your car can be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
Today is Monday, November 14th, and this is episode 34. I wrote this weird this week. This is your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps from the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
It's backwards day for me. Hey, this week we are doing a feedback episode, Q&A, comments, your recommendations for apps.
First one I've been on in ages.
I know, you haven't been here in a while for a feedback show.
Yeah, the feedback ones, it was my travel shows, like when I was out of town or whatever. Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yay.
Because yeah, so there's a lot of things to feedback on.
And there is a Ron-specific question
in
the
show. I saw that one. Yeah, I actually have the answer to it.
I was wondering what I said.
Yeah, no, we're good.
I saw that a while ago, and I tried to throw it into another show, and it just didn't work. I'm like, I got to do it for this show.
I got it covered.
All right.
We also have these.
Yes.
Of course, it's not an Android-powered. But I'm pretty sure it's very effective.
Now, look
so if the flies come around, we will swat them.
So for the audio listeners, we have fly swatters because we have a fly problem here at TWiT. And there was one buzzing around in pre-show. And Ron has the electric fly swatter.
I do.
And
soon to be powered by Android, I would imagine.
Yeah, with the warning, like, don't touch the net while the red light is on.
So if you hear
on.
If you hear a loud electrical splash and then an explosion, you know what it was.
I'm very thankful this did not exist in the 80s because me and my sister would have been running around the house chasing each other with this because this is like not safe.
No, it's got some.
But it's here now for your children today.
Right.
The fly better watch it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we haven't seen the fly since we got that at the table.
Yeah, so maybe it won't ever come back. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of questions from you guys and comments in just a few seconds, but there is one piece of breaking news.
Yeah.
Good on ya.
We need a breaking news bumper.
Yeah, maybe we need a breaking news bumper. This literally happened an hour before our show. Android 4.0 ice cream sandwich source code is released.
Yes, release the hounds.
I know. Yeah. Technically, it's for version 4.0.1 of Android, and it also includes the source code of Honeycomb that a lot of people probably been waiting for.
Yeah.
From the post from Google, this release includes the full history of the Android source code tree, which naturally includes all the source code for the Honeycomb releases. However, since Honeycomb was a little incomplete, we want everyone to focus on Ice Cream Sandwich.
So they're doing it just to be completists in the fact that they release all of their code. But no, who's going to want to develop for Honeycomb now that Ice Cream Sandwich is on the table?
That's what they're hoping for. And of course, there's the historical completists, like you said, who want to see the whole development of the tree and understand, okay, because the thing is that especially version programming, there's a reason, you very, very little aspects of the code is actually unique to Ice Cream Sandwich. It will be derived from this thing from Honeycomb. And so they want to show people how they got there. I mean, I think it's cool that they released it all.
And it kind of helps them to rewrite history a little bit, right? Because 2 years from now, someone can't go back and say, well, you never released the Honeycomb source code. Are you going to do that again? They'll be like, well, actually,
yes,
we did. Yeah. We just released it with Ice Cream Sandwich. No one ever did anything with it.
We released it right when it became irrelevant.
Exactly. At the exact moment it became irrelevant. I think this is great. It seems like it's a little bit earlier than I think people might have expected because I think people kind of lumped Ice Cream Sandwich release along with the Galaxy Nexus, thinking the Galaxy Nexus is going to be the very first thing you see. Yeah. Still waiting for it.
We were talking pre-show. I thought I had seen a rumor that November 21st and Verizon and online only, right?
I heard online only. That's what I heard.
And now you've heard.
Well, I've heard sometime in December. You know, there is no specific exact like official information here. So yeah. It's all hearsay and it's all little reports here and there. So, you know, you don't know which source you can trust and which you can't, but it all sucks.
I do have to admit that it has started now psychologically internal. Like, so last week I was in Chicago and I was out and about and I was, and my battery just like went from zero, like 100% to zero in no time. And I was like, oh, that's stupid. When's the new phone coming out? Yeah. And then I caught myself. I was like, oh man, I'm infected. And I'm like, totally, like, it's like now, like, I know that there's a new one. Now I want it.
Yeah, totally.
So you're sold. You're going to get the new one.
I think I'm going to.
Yeah,
I think.
And you are. So I'll be the one left behind.
Yeah. Well, but you just got that one. I mean, like, your phone is more, I mean, at this point, mine is a year old now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I'm going to get ice cream sandwich on my phone too. Yeah. And I'm actually anxious to see how it works on this phone, considering that mine actually still has buttons. But, we'll talk about that. That's a question for later the episode. So why don't we go ahead and finally jump into some of our feedback?
Finally.
We have a lot of feedback.
All that time.
5 minutes was excruciating. Wait.
They didn't want to hear us talk, right? No, thank you so much for all of your responses, your questions, and everywhere on Twitter, on our new Google Plus page, email, voicemail. And I think we'll go ahead and start with some feedback from voicemail.
Hey there, Triple A team. This is Hisham from Saudi Arabia. I was looking at possible Android media players that rival the iPod Touch, and I stumbled upon Samsung Galaxy Player. Do you guys know about it, or do you know if there are any alternatives that you recommend? Thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
I suppose the key to that question being that we recommend, seeing as how none of us have played with any Android devices that are anything other than phones or tablets.
Right, exactly.
We haven't played with media players. It really seems like the Galaxy Player 5.0, which is available $269.99, I was finding it online, is probably the best that's out there right now. It's also probably one of the most well-known media players based on Android right now, and it's fully capable. If you're looking for alternatives, I mean, I did a little bit of digging. There's the Arcos 43 internet tablet, which is okay. It's 8 gigs for 150, 16 gigs for 230. It's not amazing spec-wise, but might be a little bit of a lower cost entry.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've never even thought about media players running Android. I mean, I knew they existed, but I always kind of dismissed them because I'm like, well, why wouldn't you just get a phone or a tablet? But
well, it kind of, exactly. Like,
especially if you're going to drop $270, why not just get a low cost tablet?
Well, you talk about like someone like Iaz Akhtar on TNT. He has an iPod Touch. He doesn't have a phone. He uses it because and that's perfectly sufficient for him because everywhere that he is, Wi-Fi is.
Interesting.
And so, you know, you don't have the data plan when you do it that way.
And I guess really is the media player aspect of it because I'm you know, the size wise, when I think of media player, you know, it's MP3s plus video and all that sort of stuff. And I guess there's some people who want the handheld, the smaller form factor, instead of a big tablet and that sort of thing. You
know, or they're buying it for kids and they don't want the kids to, you know, make phone calls and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. There are a few other options that I found. Philips Go Gear Connect 3, which is extremely unimpressive when you kind of take a look at the specs. 480 by 320 pixel display, which I imagine does not look very hot up close and personal. It looks a little bottom heavy too. But I guess it just kind of follows the old school like media player format, like when you looked at the old iPods and they always had the scroll wheel down the bottom.
There's some stuff coming out that looks kind of curious.
Yeah, we talked about the Sony Walkman in the past here, the Sony Walkman NWZ-1000 series. It's been announced, you know, Sony obviously traditionally have done very well with their music players in the Walkman series.
It's a powerful brand.
Yeah.
Despite that bubbly W logo.
And it looks like a nice device. It looks pretty slick. And then there's the, I had hardly heard anything about this, the HTC Beat, which is completely unannounced and total rumor at this point. There's hardly anything to go off of except for this tiny little screenshot.
Vague, blurry.
Yeah, I know. It's totally in the Yeti camp right now.
It's the Loch Ness Monster.
Our note says completely unannounced and rumory. And I feel like that's a new category. Rumory.
Rumory.
And fake so or not
there
fake.
Are things around the corner. But if you're talking about like for the holidays or whatever, it really does seem like the Galaxy Player is probably the one to go for possibly right now. You could go for the other ones and pay a little bit less. I just think you kind of get what you pay for when it comes to that. Yeah. So I hope that helps, Sean.
Well, moving on to email, and you can email us, aaa@twit.tv, in you know, our next episode. This comes from Mike from Moines, Illinois. I hope I'm saying that right. He says, love the show. I am upgrading my daughter from an iXL Play School to an Android tablet this Christmas. I'm thinking about the Kindle Fire, but I really don't want to subscribe to another video service. I already have Netflix and Hulu. Is there anything out there around the 200 to 250 mark that can play Netflix and has the Android App Store? She is three, so I would have to have a recommendation for a good case. Also, FYI, the Kindle Fire will have Netflix and Hulu. If you're concerned about subscription to Amazon Prime, you don't want to do that. And, you know, again, $1.99, and that'll be out. I have mine shipping. It's already out there.
I know. My friend of mine emailed me this afternoon. He's like, my Kindle shipped.
I know. Yeah, I've been dying. I've been waiting. You know, it's weird. They've been getting a ton of negative reviews from various, you know, product reviewers out there. But they all say, you know, you get what you pay for with the $1.99 price. I think it's kind of unfairly compared to the iPad in a lot of these reviews. But I don't know. I mean, I have yet to play with it. Maybe I'll be disappointed myself when I finally get it. I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't touched one yet. But I mean, but you can't compare it to an iPad.
That's
because
what
it's
I
a 10-inch versus a 7-inch. If anything, you got to compare it to the Nook. And then all that. That's what I've always said.
It's a different category.
You know, yeah, the
but
Kindle
I swear, but all of the reviews are constantly, wow, but the iPad dish.
But that's, like, but that, you know, what's so fun, you know what's so funny, though, is that in the time, and we were talking about this, we were talking earlier about announcements and dates and things like that. In the time that Amazon announced the Kindle Fire to now where it's actually shipping, I feel as if expectations and like positive goodwill that it's gotten, like, this is going to be great, Amazon, it's a tablet and stuff like that. And it's crescendoed. And what do we do as a society? We like to tear things down.
That's true.
You know, so like,
that's true. When it reaches the pinnacle, when it's like the hot thing, now it's time to tear it down.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, now people are going to realize, like, oh, it's 7 inches, and oh, it's just the playbook, and oh, it's like, now we're going to hear all the.
And I never had that expectation that it was going to be better than the iPad. I was just excited that it was the Amazon ecosystem, and I'm one of those that's part of that cult, I guess.
You told
know?
Me you thought it was going to change your life. Don't lie. I heard that.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
Rewind
that. No, but I mean,
it's
very.
It's a different experience.
And it's a first-gen device. It's a
first.
I mean, like honestly, like, I was just last night. I was in bed reading on my iPad. I was reading the new Neal Stephenson novel, which is awesome. And I've got my Gen 1 iPad in my Dodo case, and it slipped and fell out of the rubber and landed like on my chest, and like, and it hurt. And I was like, oh man, that's. And then I'm like, if I had an iPad 2, that wouldn't have hurt because it was so light.
It's so light.
And then, you know, so like the thing is, all Gen 1 devices have their shortcomings, and this is the first round with the Kindle Fire, and we're gonna see what the future ones look like.
Speaking of Gen 1 devices, that might be a solution here is a rooted Nook color, because one of Mike's requirements, it seems, is to have access to the Android App Store. I assume that he's talking about the Google App Store. Maybe he's talking about the Amazon, but I guess if it's on another device, you could probably get both. But I know for a fact with a rooted Nook color, you can, you know, get a ROM that has the Android Market on it, and there you go. That's $200 right there. You'd have to do a little bit of playing around and rooting it and that kind of stuff. It's not
well, it's not that hard to root the Nook at all.
No,
I mean, it's just a matter of putting it on the SD card and then just rebooting it, right? I mean, like,
you could do it that way, or you can actually
root the hard, but
it seems like the SD card would be the way to go. I don't know. That's just
it's a little laggy on the SD card compared to actually rooting
the device
I did that. Yeah, I did that, and I noticed it was a little laggy. Mike, I mean, the new Nook tablet will be out. It's only $250, right? $249, and that's in your price range. Now,
that's true.
Definitely has Netflix and Hulu Plus on there. You don't have to root it to get that.
And I'm sure it's going to get rooted at some point anyway.
Exactly.
So.
Oh,
I'm sure. Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, all of these that we've talked about will be if they haven't already. So
there is a there was a Toys R Us Nabby tablet for $299. That might be a little too. That might not be what you're looking for. But I just happened to see this in research question.
$199.
It's a friendly Android tablet. Now, if you're looking for, it looks pretty sturdy. Like, I think it could get thrown around a bit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think this has Netflix, though. So, but it looks like it's got apps like Cut the Rope and Fruit Ninja and things like that. And then there's a web and there's a camera.
You've got to be able to install stuff. I mean,
well, it does have an adult mode that you can switch to.
Nice.
Well, okay, not that kind of adult mode, Ron. It does have an adult mode. They actually say that it's
when am I gonna grow up, where
you can actually get in there and you can install other apps and things. Things that aren't specific to that tablet.
There's another question I can't wait to get to. Okay. So anyways, I hope that helps, Mike. And I don't think you should knock the Kindle Fire out of your list, but you know, the new Nook tablet or root the current Nook Color, which dropped in price, right?
Yeah, it dropped.
There's a lot of really good options there between the $2 and $250 mark. So
I think all devices need to have an adult mode. I'm going to put it in adult mode. All right, on to our next email. Jack W. writes in and says, I need help from your supreme brain trust of Android. Right now I use an iPad as my daily tablet, but I would much rather have a honeycomb or ice cream sandwich device. However, if I want to switch over, I need a way to watch on-demand TV shows. I don't like iTunes, but it's a great way to download shows and watch them on my iPad. So far, the only Android alternative I've found is watching Amazon Video on Demand in the browser. But the quality is often poor, and assuming I get a Wi-Fi-only tablet, I will only be able to watch in a Wi-Fi hotspot. Do you guys have any suggestions to download and watch TV shows on Android? Thanks, I love the show.
Again, well, the Kindle Fire might be an option for you if you like Amazon Video on Demand.
Well, that's the one thing, and I haven't played the Kindle Fire enough or anything. Like, I've been playing with Amazon Video on Demand on my Google TV.
Mm-hmm.
Drink. We
should have a drinking here every time Ron mentions Google TV, not us.
Now, the thing about Amazon's Video on Demand product and why I'm not in love with it is because it is browser-based.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's browser-based, it falls under all the trappings of a Flash video player.
Yeah, right.
It has, you know, I've got the max speed I can get into my house from Comcast, and it was throttling me at low SD quality when I was watching Decoded via Amazon. And I was like, come on, I kept on reloading it, trying to get it kick in to be an HD signal. That said, how it performs on the tablet, I don't know if they have an app or a player or if it's still going to be, you know what I mean? Like, that's one thing I haven't seen yet. Admittedly, I haven't done the research, but that's one thing that I would be curious about, whether or not they've got an app that handles their video on demand and maybe look that up. But in terms of that, you're looking for on-demand stuff like that they have in, like, as soon as stuff aired and things like that. Mm-hmm. The Hulu app on Android is great.
Mm-hmm.
All the content that's on Hulu is available via the Hulu Plus app.
Yeah.
Admittedly, you got to pay a subscription fee. You got to pay, you know, whatever it is, $9.99 for Hulu Plus. But it gives you a ton of great content. I use it a lot on my phone and on my Android tablet. That's a good solution if you don't want to wait as long for the shows to come to Netflix.
And that's really good for like current TV. Because like Netflix is another, you know, option for that. But you're not necessarily always going to get current TV. Sometimes they do that.
I was going to say that tide is changing because Netflix is striking all these deals. Like, for example, when Mad Men comes back. There's a comic book called Mad Man, and I can't say Mad Men without saying Mad. Everyone who works in comics, they have the same problems that they all say Mad Men instead of Mad Men. But so when Mad Men comes back, it's going to be on Netflix the next day after the episode airs, similar to how it works with iTunes.
Cool.
So I imagine we're going to see a lot more of that, emerging. So Netflix could be a good option there for you as well.
This, and Crackle's another one, but I don't know very much about that one. It didn't sound like that.
Does Crackle have like current TV episodes?
Yeah, I don't know if it's current. It's current.
I don't think it does.
Just reading Joshua Topolsky's review of the Verge, and he says playback of video. This is his words: was handled in an almost identical fashion to playback on the company's video player for devices and its web player. The controls for video watching float above your content and quickly fade away when you're not interacting with the device. One interesting thing of note: you can't watch video in portrait mode at all. Blah 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 blah.
So it's the web player.
I think so.
Which, if you ask me, that's a ding. That's not as solid as not that the Netflix player is. We love Netflix, but I run the same buffering and challenges and things like that. But sure. I feel as if an app kind of plays it a little smoother. But
double check in chat room if you guys know. Let us know. Correct us if we're. We're getting our fires pretty soon, so we'll have more information. In fact, I'll have mine next week for the show and hope to do a few live. So,
but I think, but to answer Jack's question, I think Hulu Plus is probably your best bet for Android to give you the most iTunes-like experience.
I forget exactly
what they have, but they've got a lot of content deals in place. And so,
And who knows? You know, Google Music, we're kind of waiting for this Google Music announcement to happen and the Android market in general. Google's doing a lot to kind of try and bring that up to be very competitive to the other players out there, i.e. iTunes. If they don't already have TV, to a large degree, TV shows in the Google Android market, have to imagine they're working on those deals.
Yeah, I'm just looking right now at Hulu. I'm just looking right now at Hulu, and they've got you know, they've got Saturday Night Live, they've got Pan Am, Desperate Housewives, a lot of ABC, a lot of NBC, a lot of Family Guy. So they've got some pretty, you know, depending on what shows you're watching, right. Hulu might be your answer. So
cool. All right, moving on, because I'm realizing, wow, we've got a lot of emails to fit in before the first break here. Just really quick on this, just because I got a lot of feedback on my Google Plus post about questions that everybody has out there. Iman O'Callaghan said, please discuss the benefits and drawbacks of rooting and ROMing. Is stock better or custom ROMs? Jonathan Feist also followed up and said, I would also like to hear more about rooting and ROMing. Specifically, rooting, is it worth it? Can it be undone? Does it help or hurt the force closes and freezes as mentioned above? And I suppose the overarching answer to all of this is yes, it can. it all really depends. Most phones, most devices out there, I would say a good majority of them are going to get some sort of developer kind of support in one way, shape, or form to allow you to root it. Not all of them, but I'd say the good majority of the big phones that you hear about are going to have that ability. So hopefully you're going to end up with a phone that has a really easy to use rooting solution, a one click root, for instance, which is literally almost as easy as that sounds, one click. Other times you're going to have to go in there with a terminal and enter in all of these shell commands, and it's a lot more difficult. But if you go to XDC developers, it's just the perfect source to start. They have all of their forums broken down by device, and most devices are represented there. And within there, you go into that forum, you can kind of see how much developer support your device has and what's offered. They will walk you through how to root your device, what the development is around ROMs that are being created, and that kind of answers another one of your questions, which is, does it help or hurt force closes, freezes? Does it speed things up? Is it better than stock? It all depends on the particular ROM that you're using. That's why you'll see the fly swatters are coming out. This is scary. They might be coming towards me.
I'm powering up.
Okay.
We don't want to root. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
It really just depends on the ROMs. Some ROMs work better than others. Some are developed by a team. Others are developed by a person. Not that necessarily changes things widely, but, the more people working on it could potentially mean a more stable ROM. Who knows? But you just really have to kind of do your homework. A lot of people that root and ROM their phones, you'll find, including myself, when I have a phone that I feel comfortable rooting and ROMing, not one that I'm going to be giving away on the show at some point. you'll find people that start to do that end up doing it a lot because there's so many ROMs out there and they all kind of bring different feature sets and they all bring different stability. And that's kind of why you do it. It's kind of the journey. The journey is as fun as the destination to a lot of, for a lot of reasons. So just go to XDC developers and you can Google that. And I think you'll find a lot of information there to kind of answer these questions. But as a general sense, that's my answer. And don't hit me with that, please.
If you don't answer correctly, you get swatted.
Ow! All right. Or XDA. Sorry, why am XDA. I saying XDC?
Yeah.
I have no idea why I said
like
that.
XTC.
Yeah, I have no idea. XDA developers.
XBMC is the Xbox Media Center.
Yes. One, let's not confuse anymore. XDA
See?
Developers. There
said
we go.
Said it wrong, Hal.
Thank you, chat room. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Chad room. Okay.
Wow. All right.
All right. You've got the
next
one.
Question or comment, actually. Oh, where's the name of this person? Oh, person. Hello.
Slash.
This is Slash. Hi, AAA gang. Just got a new Samsung Galaxy S2 and thought I would pass on a few thoughts. I love these tips from our listeners. Overall, I love the phone. However, it came with a ton of bloatware. True. Kept looking for root guides until finally at the end of last week, I came across this site. Which kind of parallels your question. GalaxyToRoot.com. That's Galaxy, GALAXYS, number 2ROOT.com. It's really well done and focuses on the Galaxy S2. After rooting and putting the Eagles Blood ROM on, I didn't know that was one.
This is dramatic.
I know, very, very dramatic. I noticed a significant increase in battery life, and it seems quicker. Anyways, just thought I'd pass this along. Love the show. Oh, and by the way, props to T-Mobile. I bricked my first Galaxy S2 within 6 hours of getting it.
Great.
I called T-Mobile fully expecting to have to buy a new one. They had a new phone out to me before I even got the bricked one in the mail.
Wow.
So, congrats. I'm so sorry we don't have your name on here. Oh.
Sorry.
But thank you. That's a great tip even for me since I haven't rooted my phone yet. So, thank you very much,
listener. I can't wait for the next question. Yes. I read ahead to the questions. I'm sorry, I cheated.
Oh, I guess, yes. I'm going to read that next question.
This is
the one.
Fantastic.
I actually tweeted about this question on Friday. I read this and I thought, oh my God, we have to answer this. This is from David in the UK. David, thank you so much for this question. I am a new Android user. I was wondering if you could mention some of my security apps and privacy on Android. One, recently my friend just picked up my phone and started browsing and using my Twitter app. Is there any way I can protect my phone? Two, I have downloaded a cache cleaner, but my girlfriend could still see that I was looking at adult material online when she used my browser. She was very angry. Three, any other security or privacy apps you could mention? Really enjoy your show. All of you seem to gel well together and can't wait each week to download. This show is funny. I like when you keep trying to update every 5 minutes. LOL.
LOL.
And you have just made us laugh. This is the best question ever.
This is what you have to do. So this is from David in the UK. And so you need to read it with that UK, the aside, where he says, I've downloaded a cache cleaner, but my girlfriend could still see what I was looking at, that I was looking at adult material online when she used my browser. Parentheses, she was very angry. It's like I could hear the British kind of, you know, politeness. She was quite angry. I was like, yeah, so I'm not going to attempt to do an accent. Wow, don't let your girlfriend touch your phone.
Well,
that's number one.
Yeah, or add a security lock to the phone.
Yeah, well, that's the key. I mean, one of the tried and true games or teasing or pranks we like to play is get someone else's phone and tweet as them.
Right.
Mauricio on App Judgment, every chance I get whenever I'm around three.
Oh, he tries to tweet you?
No, I tweet as him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when he leaves his iPad or his phone somewhere and I just tweet him. Typically, it's about pants status equals off. But the best protection you can do from that is to put a security lock, either the number or the connect the dots pattern or whatever.
Maybe get the new Galaxy Nexus with face lock.
Assuming it works.
You don't just need it. Because I'm sure his girlfriend has plenty of pictures of him to use to unlock the phone.
Now we're alluding to that video online over the weekend, the security photo.
We'll see how real that is when it launches, but if that's the case.
If it ever launches. So that solves your problem with the Twitter problem. But the girlfriend looking into your cache and seeing what you search, just don't. I mean, like, no, I mean, let's be, I mean, you know, like, if you're worried about getting busted by that, then just don't do it. That's number one. Number two, don't let your girlfriend touch your phone.
I love this guy advice right here. I love
Seriously.
It.
Seriously.
Do any of the browsers have, like, incognito mode?
Yes. Or private shopping mode. I'm pretty sure the new version in Ice Cream Sandwich has incognito mode. Firefox did too. And Firefox might as well. That's your answer as far as if you want to protect what you've been looking at. But it's a simple, lo-fi approach. Just don't let her touch your phone.
And there's an app called InBrowser, which is incognito browsing.
Yeah.
Okay. So well, there you go. I guess if you have to, then you have options.
Yeah. And then security-wise, I guess we always got to recommend Lookout.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Lookout, that's just general.
Yeah. I guess it depends on what kind of security you're talking about. But Lookout,
Lookout covers a lot.
Yeah. We can't really protect you from your girlfriend's ire.
You could also check out episode 17 of All About Android. That was loosely security-related with losing your phone. But that doesn't have anything to do with this, I don't think. All right, let's move on to the next one so we can get these out.
Thank you, David. I love that question.
All right, best question ever. Our next email comes in from Chris G from Louisiana, who says, I have a Samsung Captivate, and I've switched over through a few ROMs over the past month or so. Since I started this, my search button has been glitching. It will randomly press itself 5 or 6 times in a row without any input from me. It's really frustrating. I can't figure out how to fix it. Please help. By the way, I love the show and look forward to it each week. Thank you, Chris.
I did a quick Google search on this one last night just to kind of see. And the Samsung Captivate Forum.com has a big old thread. Yeah, pretty big. But there's enough people in here complaining of the same exact thing. And this was back last year when it soon after it released. A lot of people having the same kind of issues. Someone in the thread actually said that they sent in their phone to Samsung. Samsung received it and fixed it. And then about 5 days later, the issue arose again. So it just kind of sounds like something that's happening to the Captivate.
Because I don't have a Samsung Captivate. I didn't know about it. But I often, when I try to use my phone after going running or going to the gym and I'm sweating or whatever, or water, or if any sort of condensation or any sort of wetness gets on the tip of my phone, it will buttons will just hit, you know, it will repetitively hit because I guess the water is just moving on it or whatever. So I thought that's what I thought. But seeing that it's an issue with the Captivate, it seems like it's a faulty on the phone side. So get a new phone.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. Well, what's really unfortunate is sending it into Samsung and then getting one and having it happen again. It's like, okay, well, now what? What do you do? Yeah. But and I don't know what to tell you there. I guess you should get a Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, so it's the answer to everyone's problem.
It's the magic elixir.
I know.
Before we jump into hardware section, I want to write this, read this email real quick from Andy. He says, I believe Jason has mentioned that he has a young child, and I was wondering if you have any recommendations for apps for toddlers. My daughter is 18 months old and is always wanting to play with my Epic 4G. Found a couple of apps that she can play with, Toddler Lock, which I've used, and actually that's a great one, and Drum Kit, which is literally like a drum kit, so you just hit them and they play the drums. I'd never seen that one before, but it was pretty cool. But was wondering if you have any other recommendations. I do, actually, because recently, and this is kind of a Pandora's box, I'll just go ahead and preface this by saying, if you don't want your kid to always, after you show them these apps, suddenly that's the thing that they ask for all the time is Tomcat, Tomcat, Tomcat. That's what I get now. I get Tomcat because of Talking Tomcat 2. And so we actually have to like not allow Lucy to play this anymore because she gets addicted to it. But it's called Talking Tomcat 2. It's 99 cents. And it's literally, you can slap it around.
There you go.
There we go. You can just press these on-screen buttons and it'll, you know, respond to you a little bit differently. If you talk really loud, it will listen to you and like repeat your things back to you. You know, you can scare it and then drop it off the lamp. And for kids, I mean, they love this stuff,
dog,
right?
Like, so interactive. Get
it's so incredibly interactive and it's cute. And every once in a while that comes up and I don't know why, but see, it says lots of things that you say too. Just a few others real quick. Kids Paint is one that I got off of Amazon actually with their app, app of the day, free app of the day. And it's really straightforward. It's literally every finger paint is a different color. So, I mean, I guess you could draw some pretty cool things with this. But for kids, I mean, they'll just start, you know, touching it and seeing the colors and everything. And they think it's kind of cool. For that reason, the Going to Bed book, which if you have kids and you read them stories at night, this is a really good nighttime story. But what's so cool about this app is that it's fully interactive. So it's the same book that they've read. But if you do different things, it like makes the boat move and you can get them to go to different places. You can turn the page and get everybody to go downstairs and, you know, turn on the faucet and suddenly the bath is on. They love that stuff. And then finally, I actually just found in this tablet, I didn't know that it was there, something called Kid Mode, which I haven't played with, and I won't even show it because I've hardly looked at it. But I looked at it on the Android Market, and it's essentially an app filled with just tons of things for toddlers. So check that out. There's a free version, and then you can pay to get into it. But those are a few of my favorites, so hopefully that helps you. My kid loves those when we let her play with it. Which isn't all the time.
Have you seen that? It's not an app, but have you seen that book, Go the F to Sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Sam Jackson.
Oh, I read that to Lucy all the time.
Actually, the first time I saw that Talking Tomcat app was actually at the grocery store, and the guy checking us out was fascinated and kept showing us the app.
Oh, really?
Over and over again. I was like,
like the clerk?
Oh,
like the clerk?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you should be less app showing and more scanning. Bagging, maybe.
It was bizarre.
Me. Yeah.
I'll bag those in a second, but hey, take a look at this cat. This? It says everything
I
say.
Yeah. I was like, great cat. Nice. Yeah.
I can't get away from this app stuff.
It's everywhere. By the way, the fly was coming. We were on the ready.
Yeah, yeah.
As
oh,
you were doing your rundown.
I'm going to be talking and suddenly going to feel it.
Really, if I don't get to zap this fly on air, we're all just going to be disappointed.
That's true.
Really,
it's a hunt at this point.
There it was. There it is. There it is. Right next to you.
I see it.
It's right there.
I'm going to totally end up hitting myself.
I'm afraid that he's going to accidentally swat me.
All right. Well, while you hunt for flies, let's jump into hardware. All right. So, we know our fans of the show, will be delighted to, and probably already are, delighted to have heard of the specifics around the ASUS EPAD Transformer Prime. 10-inch super IPS plus display, 12-hour battery, quad-core Tegra 3 Shipping in December for $499. This is not an inexpensive tablet.
No, this but is it brings a real with deal. It.
Yeah, yeah, this is a big deal. $499 for a 32 gig model, $599 for a 64 gig model. I think what's really cool about this, and I guess the earlier Transformer had this as well, but it looks really slick here, is the keyboard dock. Which, I mean, if you look at the keyboard dock, if you end up seeing a picture of it, it's got, you know, like those little chiclet buttons that you see on, you know, like a Mac Pro or whatever. It looks like a slick keyboard dock. It actually kind of looks like a Mac keyboard. Mm-hmm. Somewhat, but
looks at the air.
Anyway, so it's not just, you know, $149 for a keyboard dock. It actually also saves charge. So if you get 12 hours battery through your tablet, you get an additional 6 when it's docked in the keyboard dock. So that's kind of fancy. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, it's just a slick looking tablet. If you're willing to spend, you know, close to $500 to get one of these, as I'm sure a lot of you will be, it's a good tablet. And hopefully Ice Cream Sandra soon.
I really feel like it's like one of the first... Flies on my ear. Nobody would hit me. I really feel like it's one of the first, you know, tablet in that could replace a laptop.
Yeah,
like this could really, you know, be an entry point into like a business device. You know, that instead of ditch the laptop and go with that, because you can put it into the dock, you can have a keyboard. Yeah. It basically operates like a laptop in that scenario. But then you can just unplug it, take it on the plane, and you have 12 hours, 1080p. That's pretty cool.
Didn't they push the release for ICS?
Yeah.
I thought I'd heard
delaying it so that it releases with Ice Cream Sandwich. I think I had heard that, but then they're saying in December, so I guess we'll see if that ends up being true, or if they just end up releasing it and upgrade to Ice Cream Sandwich. Although with the source code being released, maybe that changes things. Wow, there's a full blown war going on around me here.
Sorry, Jason.
No, it's
okay.
It's a little unnerving. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's right there on your tablet.
It's right on the tablet?
That's right by the tablet.
This is terrible
television,
audio.
I'm sorry. Television.
All right, you go with the next one.
Okay, so the next thing is, Logitech did confess to a big, gigantic mistake with Google TV. No!
Oh, my God, he got it, and it totally flew away.
It flew away. I'm pretty sure it went through the little thing.
What are the odds of that?
Jason!
That was not a light swat,
no,
either.
It wasn't.
Wow. Okay. These are like mutant flies.
They are the undead flies.
Yes.
I know the undead very well. Okay, so our story is about Logitech. I'm going to relate it to two questions that we have here from our listeners. One from Dino from the Philippines, who says, I have a Windows 7 home theater PC, which primarily serves as a media center for my kids' videos. I really want to replace it with a low-powered Google TV. I know I won't be getting the streaming services and the cable TV integration, but I don't care about that. We're an Android household, Nexus S, Nexus One, Galaxy Tab. What I'm excited about are the apps and what developers can potentially do when they're integrating experiences across Android devices like Crazy Snowboard's Wi-Fi remote. So my questions are, will a Google TV be as easy for my kids to operate?
Nope.
Still alive. Will the Google TV ever be easy for my kids to operate? Am I raising my expectations too high? Logitech has already basically given up. Do you think a company like Motorola will fill the void, especially with ICS coming out? Hold that thought, everybody. Next question.
That's a lot of thought to hold.
I know. My next question from Will in Denver. I believe there is a market for a $100 Google TV device that has apps. Why would Logitech step away now and just leave it to Sony? Why aren't more manufacturers jumping on this? A full-fledged Apple TV is coming. We know this. Do we really know this? Why not offer a more open Android solution? Seems like a good opportunity to me, Will in Denver. I have a few comments, but I'm going to pass it off to our Google TV expert, Ron, to answer first. Which question?
Well, yeah. So, Dino in the Philippines, your question is, I think especially with Google TV 2.0, it's definitely functional. A child can use it. I think a child could also have used the first one, but depending on the age, it's super simple now, and Google TV is way more accessible, and I think that it's more family, consumer, you know, regular person friendly now. Mm-hmm. So I think that answers that question.
Okay.
Will's question about, you know, $100 Google TV device, I absolutely agree. If they come out with a little Roku size, or a current Apple TV size device that could run it, I think that totally is a market for it. Why Logitech stepped away, and last week the Logitech in their earnings call, I believe it was their earnings call, their CEO addressed the review and basically said that they're done with that product. They're selling off their stock, and I believe he said they made a huge mistake.
I mean, but it was 100. They lowered it from 300 to 100. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have been making any money off of it.
No,
they were losing their shirt off by selling it like that.
And I think it was a I think the Logitech situation was a combination of things. I think it was that I think they got really excited about the product maybe too early. Mm-hmm. I think they introduced they as opposed to Sony bundling it with televisions and with Blu-ray players, they made a unique device that stood on its own. So like when I was shopping a year ago, I had to choose between a Logitech Review that was just a Google TV device or the Sony Blu-ray player with Google TV. The price difference was negligible, and I went for the Blu-ray player because that was a bit better device.
Right.
So I think had they been a little more conservative or maybe waited till this – but who can wait?
Yeah,
who knows?
Who can wait?
Plus also, who knows what the relationship between Logitech and Google is like. You know, Google's working very closely with Samsung. They bought Motorola. Maybe Logitech was like, you know, help us with our product line. You know, there's a lot of deals that happen behind the side – behind the scenes in terms of money and things like that. Maybe just the business side of it didn't work out and Logitech decides to flame out publicly. You know, people's motivation. We'll never truly know the true story, but I said it when the Logitech Review came out is that I thought that that particular device was a little premature for the product because it actually reminded me a lot of Web TV, which if we remember back in the late 90s was a big old fat failure, or the early 2000s, the Web TV was basically the same device as the Google Review with the full keyboard and the little box. I don't think we're there yet. But you get a Roku-style box that's $100, like Will says, I think that could go far, and it's basically Logitech isn't in a position where they can take that risk.
So. Now, I have a source that says that the company always knew that they weren't going to move forward with the Review after this, that they were just getting into it in hopes that other manufacturers would jump on board, and then they could just keep doing accessories they're known for. Also, from what I understand, they will support for their Google TV for a year, and the update is coming soon, if any of you are waiting and thinking, oh, well, God, they're done with Google TV. Nope, they're going to roll it out. They seem to think that there's a couple of bugs, and they don't want to release it out yet, their version of it onto the Logitech Review. So I believe it's still coming, which would mean I would get mine.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's not going to come. Yeah. I think that they have to. I think, if anything, I wonder how much of a low-powered device is the Review versus Sony's thing, and is that what they're trying to account for? You know, because they want to avoid lagging and chugging and that sort of thing. But it's interesting when you think about it, because Logitech isn't a product. They're an accessory.
Yeah.
You know, like they're kind of, you know, products to make other products better. Mm-hmm. You know, some remote control, this mouse, or whatever.
True.
You know, so the Review kind of was a little out of their wheelhouse from the get-go. So. Too bad. I mean, it's too bad because I was upset to see that article because I felt as if people were like, oh, Google TV's doomed. Look at this.
Yeah.
And it was like so like black cloud over Google TV when Google TV is such a wonderful thing. And it can be great, especially for kids.
Shed a tear.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I love it. I was this weekend. I was in heaven. I was watching TV. I was watching movies. It was great. It's fantastic. Tweeting. It's great.
I love talking to you about it.
I know.
I don't even have it yet.
Although, but now it's getting to the point where I am a little frustrated because it's like I want more apps.
Yeah.
And I want more widgets and I want more, like I want to do more with it.
About the tablet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of the same deal.
Yeah, but it's the second inning. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's take a really quick break here and thank our sponsor, Ford. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford. One of the latest technologies from Ford Syncs with Ford Touch is Wi-Fi connectivity. So this feature can turn your car into a traveling Wi-Fi hotspot, which is pretty cool. Gives you and your passengers internet access for up to 5 devices at once. So basically, you establish an internet connection to the Wi-Fi hotspot by plugging into the wireless access card from one of the wireless carriers and put that into the USB port located on the center armrest console. Or you can connect to it wirelessly via Bluetooth. Next, you connect up to 5 Wi-Fi enabled devices to the hotspot using a secure password, and that's it. You're in. Now you and your passengers, you can all access the music, browse the internet, download the apps, and play the games that are available on your Android device via Wi-Fi. So you can connect pretty much all your devices that have that Wi-Fi connectivity capability, and all without an additional subscription or expense. Ford Sync with My Ford Touch featuring Wi-Fi connectivity is available in the 2012 Ford Focus. You can learn more about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology.
I love how the car is your Wi-Fi hotspot.
I know. Cool. It makes awesome. A lot of sense, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because more and more I find myself in my car, like, you know, thumbing around on my phone.
It is really cool. I mean, as somebody
who's... Not while I'm driving.
I mean, as someone who's used my phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot while in the car to work, not while driving.
Important to know.
It can be really handy. It can be really, you know, like when you're on that road trip, when you're going up to Tahoe on Friday and you're supposed to be working. I've never been to Tahoe.
That's never happened.
No, I've literally never been to Tahoe. I just hear that's what people do.
Wow.
But I don't. Yeah, never been.
Well, you need to go.
That's another new thing I learned.
You need
about
to take some time off.
I'm not
from
a big
work.
Skier. I'm not a big skier. So anyway,
you don't have to be. You can just go hang out in the hot tub while everybody goes
roll
out
up
there.
Some snowballs and
start
a war.
Hot chocolate.
More of an inside kid.
Okay.
Yeah, you could stay inside in the cabin and drink hot chocolate. Okay, moving back to our feedback. This is from Dan, who gives us an app recommendation.
Cool.
Hey, AAA team, love the show, but I wanted to mention an app that I cannot live without, and it kind of sounds like you guys need. The app is called Audio Guru, and it lets you set individual volume levels for ringer, notifications, alarm, etc., depending on certain times of the day. In a previous episode, you recommended a scripting app to do the same thing for a college goer, and in last week's episode, I believe Jason mentioned he doesn't want his phone near the bed when he sleeps. With this app, you can set your schedule, and the phone auto-adjusts for you depending on the time of day. A few features I like are the ability to pretty much disable vibrate system-wide, no matter the app individual app notification settings, and it has some excellent widgets for quickly changing audio settings. Couldn't live without it. Stay awesome, Dan. Actually, cool. I do have it on my phone, if I can find
these
it.
Apps There's, are great, yeah.
Let me see here. So if you're looking at the video, this is actually the widget for Audio Guru. Oh, there we go. This is normal. This is during the day. And then if I open it up, and then you can kind of toggle, okay, the ringer. Yeah, sure. Why not? Go ahead and call me right now. and then you can, system-wide, I can turn
Should I call you?
No.
I'm sure that was a direction.
I know.
And then here's mode, normal.
And that's like
vibrate
an overall vibrate exactly. mode changer. Okay.
I'm trying to find the actual, let me see, in settings here, there's your widget settings, animate. I've played with it just a teeny bit here. Sorry, Dan, but other days, pro version only.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like your work days, you change. Here's the timing.
You tell it when to do it.
Yeah, here's normal work.
Sleep.
Yeah, this is very, very similar to what you can do with Tasker. It's just a different UI approach. Like it's a little bit, a little bit probably easier to use.
But isn't it specific to audio? It's not really power management, though, right? Isn't Tasker like a little more than
Tasker does a lot more.
Tasker does a lot more.
No, Tasker does
specifically audio management.
Tasker does this, but for all types of functions.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. and that's the thing. These apps are fantastic, and I've seen Audio Guru, and I've looked at it a little.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so lazy. I just can't be bothered to set up all the different points in the day where I wanted to do this and stuff like that. It takes work to sit down and go, okay, from 8 to noon, I wanted to do this.
I had
this,
to think
and
about
from,
that on
And admittedly,
here.
It's the kind of thing where you put in a little work and then you're going to pay dividends on it because then it lets you use your phone in a better way. But it just takes forever. So.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so thank you for the recommendation, Dan. We love recommendations from you guys.
Yeah,
again, you can email us anytime, aaa@twit.tv. Or call us.
And you should. 347-SHOW-AAA.
Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome. Mike writes in and says, I was curious if you guys have discussed car stereo head units that work well with Android. I'm specifically interested in a Bluetooth connection, but I wanted to display the track information and work with apps such as Spotify and Audible. Just to complicate things, I also want SiriusXM functionality in the unit. It seems that every head unit on the market has full iPhone compatibility, but it's hard to find any information about Android compatibility. Any thoughts or suggestions? And he has the original Motorola Droid upgrading to a Galaxy Nexus. You go. So I did a little bit of searching, and it does seem like there is a surprising to me, because I'd never actually looked into this before, a lack of Android support at the full level that you get with iPhone and iOS devices. It seems like with iOS devices, if it's connecting through Bluetooth, you get a lot more. It's not just passing the audio through. It's passing the track information and doing all this other cool stuff, integration with the head unit. So I did a little bit of searching. The Sony DSX S310BTX, just look at the show notes at twit.tv/AAA, syncs with Pandora on your Android and potentially others. It's not out yet, but it is a head unit that is designed through Bluetooth to do some of the things that you're talking about. The downside here is that it's not a SiriusXM compatible head unit, unfortunately, but does look like a pretty nice unit. And then aside from that, how about an Android-based head unit, the Parrot Asteroid, which was seen at this year's CES, or, CES 2010. No SiriusXM compatibility there as well, but it should be able to download apps and do things within the head unit, like Spotify, Audible eventually, And just kind of seems like it's maybe a little bit more customizable. If it's based on Android, you probably have more potential for developers to kind of develop for it. But it's really, it's obvious.
I remember that.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yes, I did see that at CES. I do remember this.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. But I'm curious to see more stuff like this because it really does seem to be lacking. I use my phone in the car so much more now, and it is for just, you know, streaming my audiobooks or streaming my music. But it would be great to be able to get that track information to appear on the head unit. And, you know, just seeing that it's available for all types of iPhone and iOS devices makes me really want it now. Like, I'm like, well, there should be that for Android too. So it's a really good question, Mike. I don't have a perfect answer for you. Those are a couple of things to check out. And, you know, hopefully maybe this CES 2011, Twit will be there. We'll be there. We'll actually have an All That Android from the show. You know, maybe we'll see a little bit more of this. I would be surprised if there aren't companies thinking about this specifically right now. So there we go.
Super cool. Ron.
All right. I'm trying to, this has got a lot of things involved to support this question. and I'm trying to make it a little easier for you all. But so we got a question, a very simple question. Somebody wanted to know what the name of the wallpaper that I use on my phone. And Robert wrote in and said that, and he said, Want. And he's talking about, and Chad, I don't know if you want to take my phone, but right there. There you go. So you can see that little, you see the fly swatter. So this is my wallpaper, and this is actually a...
it's on your Google TV, too.
It's on my Google TV as well, yeah. It is actually a piece of art that supported the band Art Brut, their recent album. This is like a part of the album art, and it's by an artist named Jamie McKelvey, who's actually a friend of mine. He's a British artist, and he currently is drawing an X-Men graphic novel.
Okay.
And he's done a lot of great comics like Phonogram for Image and other stuff. And you can get that wallpaper, the same wallpaper that I put on my phone as well as on my Google TV. In order to do that, I'm trying to give Chad the URL for the Bitly that I just made.
Yeah, we were trying to hook up his computer at the time, and it
wasn't working.
Yeah.
So here you go, Chad. It's in the chat. So if you go to bit.ly/w2qv7u. I'll repeat that again. bit.ly/w2qv7u. That will take you to my Flickr account where I put the wallpaper up there. So you can go grab that. And I apologize for the annoying URL.
That's okay. We do it every week
In the arena. I tried to give it a little customized thing, but I had to sign in. And then my laptop was spinny beach balling, and it was awful. So I'll say it one more time. So it's bit.ly/w2qv7u. And you can get it on my Flickr there. So there you go.
Super cool. Okay, so I also put out a call for feedback on our new Google Plus page, which all about Android. It's not verified, but it's us. How people were verifying their accounts early on Twitter with a picture. Well, that was the very first post was the three of us from my phone. Yep. So a lot of you sent in some questions for us, but I have to say this is the question that sort of commanded the thread. There were 48 comments on here, and most of it was back and forth between Phil and Omar. Phil's question was, with the new phones coming out without ICS, I'm curious how these phones will work with ICS's buttonless interface. These new phones will have the 4 capacitive buttons with the ICS drops. My question is, has anyone said what happens with these buttons and the ICS interface? Do the buttons just stop working and are wasted space? Did the ICS interface change based on whether your phone has capacitive buttons? Same questions for the early tablets. And Omar answered him. They both had a really good exchange. I kind of like, you know, this is great. That's why I love Google Plus.
Amazing.
We
don't even need to be there anymore.
Yeah, you guys just kind of talked. You just did it. Yeah, why don't we have the show? You guys just go into Google Plus, answer yourselves. And one comment from Omar, if I could dig it up here, he says, from a Google rep, I'm not sure where he found, Omar, where you found this, but quote unquote, ICS does have on-screen buttons, but not always. If there's a device with hardware buttons, the on-screen buttons won't be there, and the hardware buttons will act and function as you'd expect them to. Back and home will function as you'd expect. The search button will query the search bar as you'd expect, and the menu button will query the menu overflow in the action bar. These two went back and forth. I love it. It was really great. So definitely check out that post on our phone. But I just thought maybe this would be a good question. We don't know yet. We don't have... the phone. We don't have ICS on any of our phones. What do you guys think? I'm
really curious to see how it's going to work.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. Many more devices are going to be the standard four-button devices than are going to be true ice cream sandwich devices with no physical buttons. If they up and just deactivated those buttons... That just makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. If those buttons actually do mimic functions of ice cream sandwich, I would guess that they would still, exactly as Omar was saying, they would still retain the same functions within. You probably would not get the software buttons down below. I would imagine that maybe ice cream sandwich probably detects that you're running ice cream sandwich on a phone that has those physical buttons, and so it doesn't need to duplicate those. And if that happens, that's pretty weak as well. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I certainly don't think they're going to deactivate those buttons all out because, I mean, then you just have a daily reminder of how much you need to upgrade to a different phone when you're just like, these do nothing, but they're there every time I look at my phone. That's my thought. I would imagine that's probably what's going to be.
I would agree with you, Jason. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they know that millions of these devices are out in the wild. They're not going to abandon it. It's going to work no matter what. It would be really funny though if they just disabled them.
So like what? Ice cream sandwich doesn't use those anymore.
You know, speaking of the buttons, by the way, ever since the Android show in San Francisco,
Android
Open, and I forget what guest we were speaking to, but they're talking about the behavior, and it might have been off air. I forget when I'm talking to too many people, but I had a conversation about the behavior of the back button and how the back button behaves differently for different apps and things like that. Ever since that conversation, I have been obsessed with that.
Really?
Like every app I look to see what the back button does. And like, for example, like I'm totally converted on podcasts to using, to
Pocket Cast. I love that app.
Hate the use of the back button on it.
Yeah.
Can't say. So if you go to a podcast from the widget, it goes to Pocket Cast and you hit back. It takes you back to your home screen when I want to go back in the app. And like I'm finding all these little inconsistencies of how the back button is used. And it probably makes perfect sense if you sit down. It's like, oh, well, you were on your desktop and you went from the widget. Right. So obviously you want to go back there. But no, actually, I want to get back to the list of podcasts. So like all these little kind of tweaks and stuff like that. I don't think Ice Cream Sandwich is going to solve it. But I just thought it was something that I found interesting and now I look for. So,
It's true. Yeah. It's true. There really is no like style guide when it comes to the function of those buttons.
I don't even have all four buttons on my phone. I mean, you guys know I have these two buttons and the home button here.
That drives me
crazy
when someone hands me an Android device and they're like, here, show me how to do it. I'm like, oh, they don't have the same buttons as I do.
Yeah. You can't really see it right now, but here, the back button, the menu button here.
Right.
And then the home. That's it. So now I don't have the search on that. So already it's changing.
Yeah, totally. Well, and finally, one last email here. Julie from Reno, Nevada, writes in and says, hello, A crew. This is just a note to thank you for reading my letter on your show. It's taken me forever to write, as it was in episode 14. It made my day in a very special way. I admit I was very behind with my podcast. I was catching up during an unexpected hospitalization. Imagine my surprise to hear my letter during the podcast. It helped to really boost my mood and assist in my recovery. She says, Jason, I'm originally from Idaho, too. I'd love to hear you talk about Idaho during your podcast. Why is it that Idaho gets a bum rap? Well,
Jason,
I don't really know what to
Jason
say there.
Looks directly at me. Sorry.
I don't really know why Idaho
There's
gets a bum rap.
Over there in New York.
I do know that I moved away from Idaho to escape Idaho. So to try something new. So there's that. I don't know. But Idaho is great. I just don't live there anymore. Again, thanks for doing the show. I always learn so much and want the latest phone, but my Evo does the job for now. So thanks for writing in, Julie. I don't know what the mail was, that the question that we answered, but I'm happy that it helped, and I'm happy that it came to you at the right time.
It was like half a show ago.
It was a while ago.
A long ago.
Well, I'm glad that we brought some joy.
Yay.
Absolutely.
Yay. Thanks, Julie.
All right, really quick, let's thank our sponsor, Netflix, our other sponsor. Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly, which means you save time, money, and hassle. You can watch Netflix movies and TV shows on your Mac, your PC, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android phones, all sorts of platforms to choose from. Gaming consoles, Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii. If you're not a gamer, you can catch it on a Roku box. They're inexpensive and easy to use. So it's a pretty killer platform. Netflix can watch movies, TV shows instantly using any of these devices. You can begin watching on one device and then you can finish it on another. So that's pretty sweet. Any way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many movies and TV shows as you want, anytime you want. You can cancel anytime. So try Netflix today for 30 days
free. Go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure to use this URL when you sign up for the free trial, netflix.com/twit. We thank Netflix for their support of Twit for All About Android, and we hope you enjoy watching movies and TV shows instantly.
I just discovered one of my favorite TV shows has just entered Netflix streaming, and which introduced me to J.J. Abrams. I was one of those girls who watched Felicity.
Oh, I love Felicity.
All four seasons are available. I actually have the DVDs for seasons 1, 2, and 3. I never got 4. I don't need it anymore. I got Netflix streaming.
Nice.
All four. And I actually did sort of like a... I watched like the pilot. Then I watched a couple, like when she cut her hair.
The key moments.
Yeah, to the end. I was like, yes, I remember.
A lot of whispering on that show. A lot of whispering.
No,
I like you. No, I do. I like you. Ben. Noel.
A
lot of whispering. A lot of whispering on that show.
Anyways, I was stoked to see that was included on Netflix. They just keep adding more stuff.
I've been watching the Captains documentary, the William Shatner interviewing all the Star Trek captains. Awesome. I've watched it. He wrote and directed it, and he's hosting it. And it's William Shatner interviewing all the captains from the Star Trek. So he interviews Patrick Stewart, Avery Brooks, Kate Mulgrew, Scott Bakula, and Chris Pine.
And Chris Pine, too.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Finally. So they met, finally.
Yeah, totally.
Because I know that that was one thing. He didn't get to meet Shatner before doing the role.
Yeah, and they talk about that whole... It's great.
It's called Captains.
It's great. It's
okay.
Really cool.
I got to watch that. Yeah, so. Yay.
Sweet. I'd never even heard of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Okay.
Sweet. All right, let's jump into the arena.
Two enter. One lives. Android Arena.
Just real quick, I don't hate Idaho. I realize it may have sounded like I did, and then now ever since that, it's like floating in my mind. I actually don't. I like Idaho. I needed to move.
I'm frantically thinking to see if trying to remember if I said anything disparaging to Idaho, because normally I'm pretty anti flyover states, but I don't think I did. I think that was all
no.
you.
Yeah. I think people in general just give Idaho a bad rap, but I liked it. I'd lived there 21 years. I was ready to move to San Francisco.
I did a very intensive report on Idaho in fifth grade. We were doing states, and you had to,
and you chose Idaho.
No, you picked it out of a hat.
Oh,
and so I got Idaho, and I rocked it. I like researched everything on Idaho. It was great.
So yeah. Tell us about Idaho.
It was fifth grade.
I don't know potatoes.
I don't remember who I talked to about the back button a month ago. Much less my fifth grade report.
You are right, Matt 3. I'm just trying not to lose the Idaho arena votes. That's
I love that. There really is nothing more that brings out people to hate you than say flyover states.
Yeah, that's really a bad one. I would recommend not saying that. Let's check out last week's arena. 4 awesome apps were covered in episode 33, including this hip track that Eileen is playing.
Did you win?
To
of course
pump it
you
up
won.
Here.
Why do you think I'm playing it?
All right, Atari's Greatest Hits wins with 49% of the votes, as expected.
Oh, and I lost. I lost big time, didn't I?
You were fourth with 10%. Seamless Web actually came in second with 21%.
People love their food.
Joanna was afraid that it wasn't going to do anything, and it ended up getting second place. Ultimate Guitar Tabs came in a close third at 20%.
You rocked Mexico there. Ultimate Guitar Tabs loved you. I got the entire world, really, but...
You always do, honey.
You know.
So that's great. That was a good grab bag there. This week we have yet another grab bag. So we might as well just jump right to it. I'll just go ahead and start by saying Craigslist doesn't have an official app. And that bums me out.
I'm not surprised at all.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's just the website.
Yeah. It's just the website.
I really wish they had an official app.
They're a weird company.
Yeah.
They really are. Yeah. If you read about what they do and stuff like that, like the whole lack of changing the design for years.
Yeah.
Like they just recently redesigned the homepage and that was a big major thing.
I haven't been to Craigslist in a long time.
Yeah. And just like how Craig Newmark works in customer service. Like he doesn't actually work on the product anymore. Like, so I'm not surprised at all. They're like, what we do is web classifieds. That's all we do.
I totally appreciate that. I guess on the other side, you know, it's been really hard for me to find a Craigslist app because so many times when I'm searching Craigslist, like right now, we're looking for, you know, we're thinking about moving. So we're kind of monitoring the prices of different places. And of course, here in the Bay Area, Craigslist is a great place to look for housing. Yep. The problem is you go to the website, you have to plug in the searches. The best way to, you know, like come back to that search is to bookmark it. But that's kind of
not the most elegant solution. And oftentimes when I'm out and about in a mobile sense, I want to see what's come up because I might not have, you know, be at my desktop for hours and hours. So so I did some searching around and found the best Craigslist app that I've used is called Craigslist Notifica. And you can find it in the Android market. It's a free app. There is a contribution app, which is kind of an upgrade for a relatively steep $9.99 to contribute to the app. A lot of the people that have done so say, well, I've saved way more than this using this app. So, you know, kick that to the developers, and I totally appreciate that. And it does give you some extra functionality as well when you do that, but I'll get to that here in a second. So here's the Craigslist Notifica, the app, and essentially what I've used it for, and I've got just a few kind of, you know, things that I plugged in here a little bit earlier.
PS3, huh?
Well, I have a PS3.
Oh, you're selling it.
So I'm monitoring to see like what people are selling it for. Yeah, nice. Because ultimately, I'm thinking about getting an Xbox 360 instead.
Right. Nice.
You know,
nice.
So I've got that on there as a search for buying. Galaxy Tab, I was just kind of curious, you know, for the sake of the show. And then I also want to buy a new acoustic guitar, so I'm looking at Martin guitars.
I thought you just got a guitar.
Well, I got a bass.
Oh, okay.
I'm stocking up on my instruments so I can work on more music. So anyway, so what I really like about this is that you can create these searches in advance and they're just scanning in real time. And you can go into settings if you want and really kind of tweak the notifications and tweak the frequency on refreshing. But it's just really handy because if I was to do this on the website, it would be pretty laborious, right? I'd have four different bookmarks all pointing to different things and I'd have to remember to go to it and click on it and blah, blah, blah. At least this way, they're constantly scanning and as new things kind of come up, I don't know if any new ones will come up when I refresh. Nothing right now. But as they come up, you end up getting a little notification thing up here, which of course you're not seeing, but
you would.
And you get it there pretty frequently. Pretty easy to add, you know, searches to it. I don't know, microphone. We'll just Microsoft. Microphone for sale. You know, you can go through here. I mean, it's just the same that it is on the website. It's just kind of a little bit more streamlined in doing it. And, you know, might just be a little bit easier for you. Musical instruments. You can set up different filters if you want, like a low price point, high price point, or you can just leave it full on. Only search the titles. You can limit it to has images. All this stuff is very similar to what you get through the web search experience. And there you go. Boom. It's automatically set up once I hit enter, and it's now scanning that regularly. You can also kind of click over to this checkbox, and that allows you to do, you know, just your typical, like, maybe favorite all of these. If I favorite these, oh, it's still loading things, so I can't see the controls down there. But I could add these to my favorites list. And then if you go back out to the main menu here, let's see. Boop, 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 boop. There we go. There's my favorites. And boom, there's an Xbox 360 that I favorited for $140. That sounds like a pretty good price, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see when I get around to doing that. The free version is ad supported.
All that free time.
Yeah, I know, right? Games, yeah. I had enough free time to create this search.
Yeah.
That's about all the free time I have right now. And you can do the typical, like basic, straightforward browsing experience as well, if that's kind of what you want to do. It's really very straightforward. Again, $9.99 will give you the paid app, and that allows you to customize notifications per search. So that's kind of useful if, you know, Xbox 360 is returning like hundreds of results per day, and my housing is the one that I actually want to get instant notifications in, you know, on the top, and Xbox 360 is going to be just like a general, like, oh, that's good to know. Then I could turn it off on Xbox 360 and turn it on my housing and have it appear more frequently up at the top. So there's a little bit more immediacy to it. You can actually create templates for applying to posts, and you can kind of build it into like automatically pulling the title of whatever it is and stuff, which is maybe a little cheesy, but you can create those so that if you're really hotly following a particular item, you can very fast, you know, hit them or apply. Not really a whole lot more to kind of go through on this app. Except for the fact that if you see up at the top there, you'll notice that it's purple. And if you have the HTC Rhyme,
ooh, it matches.
Huh? It's like it was made for the HTC Rhyme.
So it's a lady app.
Yeah, well, it's kind to the lady phone.
Anyway, I have no comment.
That's a good app. That's a good app. Yeah.
The only downside I would say is that posting, it has this little post button, but it actually takes you to the market. The developer has created a post app for Craigslist, which I don't understand why it wouldn't just be built into the app.
Maybe it's cheap, keeping it simple.
Yeah. I guess.
There's a very different, I think there's a very different mindset with selling on Craigslist versus buying and monitoring.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess I just think of like a single app to do the things
want. Oh, like Facebook and Facebook messaging?
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. That's that's a really good analogy.
I don't use it.
And also another thing that people seem to like is that you can search multiple regions at once, whereas on the website, I think it's a little bit harder to do that, right? Yeah. You can only search the San Francisco Bay Area. You can only search New York, whatever. I think on the app, you can search multiple regions at once. So that's Craigslist Notifica. If you're an avid shopper on Craigslist, this might be a good app for you to have on your Android device. So check it out.
I have three apps called Messenger on my phone now.
Do you really?
Well, there's the main messaging, then Facebook Messenger and Google Plus Messenger. I was looking the other day. I'm like, well, that's a lot of messages. Many ways to get in touch.
But then you don't even use those. You usually use WhatsApp is your thing,
right? Awesome. And I use Chomp for messaging. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'll go next. And my app is called SoundCloud. Have you guys used SoundCloud at all? Am I the last to really start using it? Have you used it?
I don't use SoundCloud.
Okay.
I find things on SoundCloud.
I've used it when people embed stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of musicians will use it.
Yeah, it's a great way to distribute.
It's a social media site, and you share audio clips, and musicians are on it. Chad, can you see my laptop by any chance? Okay. SoundCloud is free in the Android marketplace. If you are already a SoundCloud member, well, here's your app. And I had been struggling with what am I going to use SoundCloud for? Should I make little notes to myself, or should I review apps, or should I don't know who I'm going to interview anytime soon. I don't know. I didn't know what kind of funny I can do with it. And I'm not a musician, which what I like here is discovering new music. But what was interesting, I started using it. I'm going to launch the app here. And, I started following friends, finding people who are actually using the app. And one of my friends recorded sounds from the underground, like just some jazz music playing. Let's see if we can hear it. I hope we can hear it.
So, like street performers?
Street performers. Yeah. Can you hear that? I thought that was pretty cool. Like, he was just waiting somewhere, and then Andrew Major, and he was recording that. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Guess what? I'm going to a concert. So I went ahead. The very first thing, I went to see Jonathan Colton and They Might Be Giants at the Fillmore in San Francisco this weekend. And I hope Jonathan's okay that I recorded part of...
Of all people, I think he's
okay. He'd be okay with it. So that's why I went ahead and I hit record. It's not bad. I mean, it's not like awesome sounding audio, but...
But it could be. It's not SoundCloud that you know. That's how you record it.
Yeah. Can you hear all that? Anyways, you can follow me on my Lean TV on SoundCloud. And let me see. I just want to hear the applause at the end.
The Senate can't hear it.
They can't hear it. That was live. That was the last song from the event. I thought, that's what I could use it for. Anyways, you upload your whatever you want to record. There's a big old red REC button at the middle of the app. You hit that and record. Should I record something? Share your sounds. Record. Hey, guys. This is Eileen from All About Android with...
Ron.
And...
Jason.
And we're putting this on SoundCloud. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah! Woo!
Thanks. Bye. Like it's an answer machine.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye. Click.
I didn't want to waste everybody's time.
Yeah, some people in the chat room are saying, well, it sounds really tinny. I think that's less SoundCloud, and that's more just like recording audio from your phone.
From your phone.
You're not going to have really good quality recording.
Either way, I kind of like the community. I like discovering music on here, and that's a handy app if you wanted to upload. You're on the go, and it's free. I mean, there's a ton of people that are using this, and I really wasn't sure how to use this, but if you're going out to a show, I like that. If you're discovering a street performer or something like that, I thought that was really good. But there's other things. I mean, SoundCloud themselves has a podcast, This Week in SoundCloud.
Yeah, because they get a lot of audio content.
Yeah. So they kind of tell you what's new and upcoming and whatnot. So I don't know. If you're thinking about, if you're really into audio and you want to discover new stuff, maybe check them out, soundcloud.com. And SoundCloud is free in the Android marketplace.
Yeah, SoundCloud is a great kind of social network around sharing music.
Yeah, I've heard so many, like, you'll hear a clip of, because I've seen bands release a new single on it and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a neat little platform. So
I'm just going to post right now. There's not too much to say about it other than upload here and there. You can follow friends on it. There's not too much to add. It's basic functions. You can do more stuff on the actual website. But, like, one little negative thing is I wish I could edit what I write, like here, Chad, if you just take the take my phone screen really quick, that's okay. Here, if I, I put All About Android here, I can't edit that on my phone once it's in there. I have to go into the web and edit if I want to make a quick text edit. And we should be able to do that on the app. But anyways, it's a decent app and does basic functions and can get you into the SoundCloud community.
Cool.
Go on to you, Ron.
Awesome. So after taking tremendous losses recently in the Android arena, I figured I would look for something that can really tap into the zeitgeist of what people want out of their phone. And if you're like me, a lot of times I'm looking for information on the go, and such as, for example, I'm a baseball fan, and so the whole baseball season I live and die by my at-bat 2011 MLB app to give me scores and news and things like that. But then I thought, I was like, well, there are other sports, and there's football and there's soccer and all things like that. Surely there must be some sort of app that will give me the scores I need. And sure enough, from the source that you would expect, ESPN has come out with a great kind of score-centric app called ESPN Score Center. And
do we have that score transition? Score!
but yeah, so if you check out my phone, I'll pull it up here. There you go.
Watch your shoulder.
Yeah, basically what it is it's ESPN in an app, which is great. But my worry about ESPN making an app would be that it was all the crap that goes with ESPN. Like, I don't watch ESPN anymore because there's just – I don't go to the website anymore because there's all that video and all that stuff. Like, just get me the information. Mm-hmm. And what they've done here is they've done a great job of making a very easy-to-navigate, simple application that caters to your wants. So here I specified what my teams were. And so here I can see I've got the New York Jets. So I can see that they lost yesterday and when the next game is. And then it actually tells me in April the Mets and the Giants start playing again. But so in looking at one single pane, I could take a look and see what the latest scores are of my teams. But now, like, for example, in the baseball offseason, I don't really care so much about the scores. But what's great is that they also will give you they'll give you news and information based on it. Actually, if I do that here, it's heavy on the scores, but it's a great source for news. So you can easily see what the main headlines are from ESPN, and you can pull up the article and read it while you're on the go, which is basically what I want out of my ESPN kind of experience. Just give me the information I want. They do have video integrated in here. You can see the little play button as it's loaded, but it's not autoplay. It's not, you know, you control when you want to play it or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a great, very simple, give me access to ESPN. What's great is that they also have this little ticker going down here at the bottom. Can you take away the lower third? Yeah, so you can see this little ticker down here, and it's very similar to watching ESPN.
Show,
it's all very consistent in terms of branding and that sort of thing. And then you can pull that up, and from here you can quickly jump between the different panes. So I can, you know, pull that up, and I can say, okay, take me to the lead, as if you don't want to swipe. But what's great is in terms of the various teams and sports that you can associate with it. So I've subscribed here to MLB and NFL, but let's say you're a soccer fan. they have lists of so many sports. Like, I was actually shocked. I was like, I didn't realize ESPN tracked all these various sports. You know, they've got auto racing, basketball. Well, I guess basketball, sorry.
Cricket.
Cricket, football, ice hockey, lacrosse, rugby, softball. I mean, it's amazing. Water polo. So, but let's say I'm a soccer fan. I can just add the sport in general. And then it lets you pick the league that you want. So let's say I'm, you know, I've been keeping track of La Liga. So I'm going to add that. And then it says when you add a sport, it goes, hey, you know, do you want to add, what's your favorite team? And so it's smart in suggesting that maybe you want to track a team. And so it'll give you a list of the teams and you could say, okay, I'm going to follow Granada. And that will load. And so then now when I go back to, when I go back to my score center, it will be added. Not only will I have a new pane for the league, the soccer league that I chose, but I'll also be able to see the scores of the team that I associated with it. So once you set it up and ready to go, then you've got all the information you might need. So, yeah, it's really just simple, does the job really well. And, of course, my latest litmus test now with apps is whether or not there's a widget. For some reason, I'm obsessed with widgets.
Oh, what's going on with that?
Well, I don't understand when, like, well, know what triggered it? Was the TV app, Into Now.
Yeah.
They got rid of their widget.
Is that why?
Yeah.
It's all gone?
Yeah, so now I got to go into the app and all. Yeah, like, so it's a pain in the butt.
Really?
Yeah. Or at least the version I have, they got rid of the widget on. But so here they have two widgets that are available. I've got one here. They've got the slimline one, which is basically which is just a very simple little ticker. Mm-hmm. And you can scroll through your teams and you can see the various scores and that sort of thing. You can tap on one, it will load the app as you'd expect it to. But then you can add, I'll go to where I've got space. You can add the widget.
Thinking. Find your widget.
There thinking, it is. So they've got Score Center, and then they've also got a video widget,
Which
is pretty cool. So it's a different kind of widget that pulls up, goes direct to the various videos. I don't particularly care for the video. And the thing is, one thing that loads into the browser, which is kind of weird, instead of going into the app. But it does, you know, if video is your thing, then it's the way to get it. So ESPN's Score Center, it's a great way to stay on top of all your various teams and the sports that you follow from probably the best in the business, ESPN. They're the leaders, and it's free, which is great.
What are you tracking? Are you tracking MLB while it's in the off-season right now?
Hot stove. Yeah, now's the time. Now. I love the off-season as much as I love the regular season. Like, where is Albert Pujols going to sign? Are the Mets going to keep Jose Reyes? Like, these are all burning questions that I need to know the answers to.
And you want to know right away. Okay. Yeah. About football, are you...
I'm a Jet fan by family loyalty, but I don't really... I mean, I'll watch a game, but, like, the Chargers played Monday Night Football, like, 2 weeks ago. I watched that game with some friends, but I'm not a big football fan.
Didn't they lose?
They lost, yeah.
Then
who did
they lose to?
The Chiefs, the Indians. Kansas City Chiefs.
I thought the Raiders beat them recently.
Yeah.
That's my team. But anyways.
One thing I find interesting, Chad, if you take the screen of the marketplace and go down to the installs graph. Oh, did you already get rid of it? Well, the installs graph, it's always done over the past 30 days, right? And the installs graph down in the bottom right-hand corner, there you go.
Whoa! It's like,
I didn't notice that.
It peaks and then it drops. It peaks and then drops. That's 4 weekends. I'm guessing that's
gotta
like
be football.
That's football. Yeah. Like the weekend comes, people install it. The weekend's done, people uninstall it. That's so strange.
Why would you uninstall?
I don't know.
It doesn't take us that much.
Keep it on there.
That doesn't track uninstalls though. That just tracks installs. So it must be there's a burst of people installing it and then another burst.
Got it.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah, you might be right, actually. That's so strange, though. It's like equally up every weekend. Anyways, all right.
Yeah!
Score! All right. Boy, let's see here. So, bit.ly/poll34AAA. bit.ly/poll34AAA. And you can let us know which is your favorite of this week's grab bag. Is it Craigslist Notifica? Which, actually, I should clarify, it's Notifica in the app. But if you go to the Android market, it's Craigslist Notification. So it's a little confusing there. I don't know why they do that. So Craigslist Notifica or Notification, SoundCloud, ESPN Score Center. Check it out and vote and let us know which is your favorite. Next week, we're having a tablet-focused episode.
Yeah. Well, I think because I'm going to have the Kindle Fire, we're hoping to get your review of the Jetstream. We're
going
to
do the
really
Jetstream.
Oh, I touched it. Gross. The fly. Your review. So we figured maybe we'll do sort of a tablet focus.
Sure.
Yeah, there it is. The Jetstream. Does he like it? Does he not like it?
You'll have to, you know, tune in next week, find out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe we'll do a little, like, Black Friday kind of thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, just a recommendation. Yeah, like a recommendation of stuff. I'm going to look online. I know that, I think the SGS2 is on super sale.
There's going to be some good Black Friday sales.
I'm already starting to get emails and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure.
Awesome. Scary. So that's tablet apps. You can, of course...
sorry to interrupt. So as I was doing my review, I saw the chat room talking about this because I commented about how the Into Now widget went away. And someone in the chat room mentioned it, and I just verified it. I had moved the Into Now app to my SD card.
I was going to say,
and then that took away the widget.
That is very annoying.
That kind of sucks. I had no idea.
Well, Jort, an app I learned from you, same thing. If you move it to the SD card, you'll get the widget. Tons of apps like that. Wow. Audible, I can't move that to... Because I actually use the widget for Audible. I can't stand that about the widgets.
It's interesting that they haven't kind of figured their way around that, but that's true. If you move an app to your SD card, it disables the widget.
I had no, it's the first time it's ever happened to me. So thank you, chat room, for solving that problem. I should have known that, but
it's actually a big tip right there.
Yeah, that's a huge
tip. I'm sure a lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
What happened to my widget? I know, I was complaining.
Is that going to be fixed in ice cream sandwich?
I haven't heard that it would be.
I'm asking you, you're my
you
expert.
Need to
well,
know.
Let me check my encyclopedia of ice cream sandwich.
Can you check the source code? Now you can.
Yeah, that's true, but I won't be. all right, so we've reached the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Ron, go ahead and plug.
Yes, great show. Awesome. Love doing the feedback. Fantastic. If you want to give me any feedback, you can find everything about me at about.me/RonXO, and that's where you can find links to my Twitter. I'm going to get swatted. Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all the great stuff. And you can find me every day over at graphically.com, which has great Android apps for comic books, as well as ifanboy.com about comic books, and a wonderful community over there. So
awesome.
And
You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV. And, I don't always have this fly sweater in my hand. I am running the All About Android Google+ page right now since I can't share admin privileges with the two of you.
Why didn't they? That just seems so simple. I'm so disappointed in
Google. But anyways, that's where you'll find me.
Just search G+ all about Android and
what
you'll
was
find
it again?
G+.to/EileenTV.
That one too.
That works too.
That's my personal page.
You can find me on Twitter at Raygun01 or about.me/JasonHell. I'm there too. And that is it. That's it. No more for you for this week. Voicemail. You can send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can leave us an email or a video mail, AAA@twit.tv. You can hit up the show on Twitter. That's @AndroidShow. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. They're found there eventually. Sometimes it takes time to update the page, but they get there. And you can catch us live every Monday from 5 to sometime p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. Have a great week, everyone. And let us know what you want to know about tablets. We'll answer those questions next week.
Tablet.
Yeah. That's it.
The fly's over there somewhere. It was like right over there on the corner.
Very disappointed we didn't get it.
I know. We got it.
I totally got it. Okay, no, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
I didn't buy it.